last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the tales of a Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, the Stonehammers are all together and set upon a quest to reclaim the Gauntlet of the Stonehammers by the ghost of Durgeddon the Black himself. But will the little family find what they need in Blazing Dell?
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise your glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Welcome to Game 2 of the Forge of Fury. I'm Kyle, I'm your Dungeon Master, and I'm sitting around with five lovely people today. I'll allow them to introduce themselves and the characters they play, and then we'll get into it.
I'm Allison, and I'm playing Fogrim, also known as Foggy. And he is a barbarian dwarf. He has fiery red hair and shaved into a mohawk.
I'm Chelsea, and I am playing a warlock dwarf named Tessikar, and he is 99, but he looks like he's 300 because he sold his soul for power, and that aged him. And he's got two crescent-shaped scars on his cheeks.
From what?
One of his spells backfired just a little bit.
Tessikar seems to have a lot of backfire spells.
He accidentally coupled the spells.
Might not be the best warlock ever.
This is why Tessikar's looking for a new group. Hey, you're all family! Yeah.
Looking for group?
I'm Aaron. I'm playing Oscar Stonehammer, the rogue assassin. He likes long walks in the forest, searching for apples and other foliage.
Foliage. Eating leaves.
Eating leaves. Grazing on the pasture.
You can tell he's a city boy.
Oh my God.
I am Melusine Stonehammer, and I have a story for every situation.
And who are you playing?
Oh, I'm Reclair.
Normally. Your dwarf is playing you?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is how it goes. No, Melusine is a dwarven bard, quite obviously.
And my name's Paige. I will be playing Elvis Stonehammer. And she is a dwarf paladin and is typically does not like conflict. However, she is pretty disappointed in her brother Tessikar. And this may not be conflict that she can avoid.
Oh my goodness, that was so dramatic.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have a question. Is that voice that you do for Eldeth, is that an affectation of Eldeth's actual voice? Or is that actually Eldeth's voice?
It's actually her voice.
Really?
Yeah. So basically what happened is when she was really young, her brother sat on her and it did something to her voice box. And so she's just forever really high-pitched. It's like there's something stuck in there and blocking the air, so it's squeaky.
All right.
I love these backstories.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, where almost the entire game is backstory.
All filler.
I like how I just am such an asshole, apparently.
Because last week, we didn't even kill anything. I got out of a cage.
We shouldn't kill anything.
Things were accomplished.
I hit on your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that.
It was great.
You're not.
She was hot.
You had an awkward conversation.
It was really awkward. I really like goats.
We don't kill a lot
There's
of things.
Not a lot of murderizing. If I might continue, the bar was a boisterous and noisome place, filled as it was with the constable and deputies, delighting in their recent capture of the pair of orcs now in the town prison. The Stonehammers were lined up at the bar, a frosty mug of ale set before them, when Tessikar raised his amber liquid high and proposed a toast.
To family, to friends, and to hot girls that I like to bang later!
And now let us peek into the adventure itself, as Oscar plies his card game in the corner, and a few deputies appear to notice it with some curiosity. But moreover, the constable or sergeant herself has taken note of a pair of noteworthy dwarves freed early from their confinement, and has taken the moment to smile and shake her head. So, the bartender's placed your beers in front of you. Sunlight is glowing in through the windows of the bar in the mid to early afternoon in the town of Blazing Dell, and we have five adventuresome dwarves in an inn.
I love inns so much. The smell is awesome. It reminds me of a story where there was this time that all of these kegs broke, and it ended up in a bar not far from here. All of these kegs broke, and it ended up causing mold in the bar. It was not very pleasant, but this bar does not smell anything like that. Yeah, good times. Yep.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. That was great.
Yeah, very enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, I think that we should start really looking into this vision that you had, Tessicar. I mean, we do have other stuff to discuss, but this seems a little more important right now.
Yeah, so I had this vision about five fingers, and as I understand in the vision that those five fingers are five stone hammers, which were five, so we should probably do the vision.
Wow, you can count two?
It didn't come easy for him.
I just want to know who the thumb is.
Tell you who I am, the middle finger.
I think the ghost actually pointed out that you were the pointer finger, Tessica.
Damn it! I'm the pointer finger, never mind.
I'm gonna write that one down.
Super relevant.
You never know when it's gonna come back.
Wait,
no. I'm the pointer finger.
She's the pinky.
And the brain.
Oscar
is the middle finger.
You just get to decide that.
You're the ring finger.
I could deal with that.
Wait, that means I'm the thumb.
That's the best one,
yeah,
though.
No, the thumb strums the lute. It makes sense.
In the vision, there's this black shadow over the heart, and there's five levels that we have to descend, and there's five choices that we have to make, and there's tooth of stone and a finger of smoke. So I think we have to go to the mountain, and we have to find the gauntlet.
More fingers. Just saying.
The four of you continue to enjoy your beer, and discuss fingers at length. While Oscar plies his card game, a couple of deputies actually get interested and meander over. But more importantly, the constable comes over, and her name is Dara Whitewood. That Fogrim and Malicene both know this character, as you've had interactions with her in Blazing Dell in the past. She's the individual that had noticed the two of you had left your prison cages early from the crossroads, and she kind of just smiled and nodded. The four of you, though, could make an insight check, as the sergeant or the constable largely stands apart from the celebrations. And anybody who beat a 12 19. Can just let me know. Three of you have beaten a 12. Eldeth is too busy staring gloomily at Tessicar. The three of you have noticed that the constable is going through the motions and is raising glasses for toasts with the other deputies and joining in their hooting and hollering and their happiness at their delight of having captured these two orcs. But the constable herself does not seem particularly taken with the celebration at hand. There's some sort of reserved element therein. Seems to be just going through the motions. And she notices the three of you noticing her, so she wanders over to converse with you. Aaron, can I get some sort of famous actress?
Jennifer Aniston.
So her voice sounds a lot like Jennifer Aniston's voice, and she comes over, and she looks a lot like Jennifer Aniston as well, if you want to picture her dressed in leather armor.
So she's human then?
Yes.
You're describing one of my fantasies right now.
What?
Jennifer Aniston in leather armor?
Yep.
Cool.
Is Ross there?
No.
No, they're on a break.
We were on a break!
Dara Whitewood, or Jennifer Aniston, comes over and she says, "So, you're out of your cages? Early?"
"We paid bail."
"Don't think that's how that works."
I gotta roll some sort of bluff.
And so a deception check?
Yeah.
All right.
As they're doing that, Tessicar is looking at her and trying to be all smooth and everything. He's like, "Hey, how you doing?"
"I'm a little depressed. Thanks for asking."
Oh no, what's wrong?
16.
I am trying to help the lady here.
Her passive insight check doesn't care at this point. I don't think she necessarily believes your bluff, though. She definitely does not seem attracted to your character at all. Jennifer Aniston says, that's very nice, old dwarf.
I'm actually not that old. Actually.
Yeah.
I'm 99.
Hmm. That's lovely.
I sold my soul for...
So without bail, how... I'm assuming you just freed yourselves?
That was me!
Ah, that makes better sense then. I don't really care. I work for the mayor, and I'm not part of Baron Althan's own personal brigade against the two of you. I thought the practical joke and the song were in poor taste. But I didn't think it was really crime-worthy. But none of his men are here, so by all means. But she definitely looks kind of sad, so.
Dara, can I buy a drink?
Already got one. She holds her frosty mug of untouched beer high. Does not look like she's actually drank any of it yet. Oscar, what are you saying over there?
How you fellas doing tonight?
They're like, look at the sun, the middle of the day, sort of thing. They're like,
it's afternoon.
Shrug.
What's right, it's afternoon.
They're like, it's you new to this? Says the one guy.
A little bit, but I'll get used to it after a while.
Well, we gonna play or what?
Sure.
All right, then you guys play 3-card money and they go back to the main group with the Dara and the 4 dwarfs.
Tessicar is still totally checking her out.
Okay.
And like leaning against the bar a little bit, trying to be all cool.
Are you all related, she says?
Yes, in a way.
You all, I mean, I'm not one to normally judge all dwarves to look the same, but damn, do you all look very similar to each other.
It's our nose, isn't it?
Her eyes light up and she goes, that's what that was. Ha, oh, it's been bugging me. All right, well.
Actually, that's my twin sister over there.
Yeah.
She does not believe you. She immediately assumes you're lying.
He actually is my twin brother. He's just a really bad warlock.
Hey, I'm not a bad warlock. I just made some poor choices, okay?
Anyways, you, are you okay? Did something happen?
Roll a d20 on a persuasion check. See how that comes across, what you just asked.
23.
You look at her with, like, doughy, wet eyes, and your mouth's all turned down. You want to, like, pat the chair beside you and say...
You want to talk about it?
She, you know, you break her right in that moment, and her eyes well up, and she tells you a story about...
I'm going to scoot over and, like, let her sit next to Elda.
Okay. The Numblefoot family, where the raiders raided, and how... Ma and Pa and Numblefoot were found in the main room dead, and they did capture the orc raiders. 2 of the orc raiders were killed, and 2 were brought into the jail where they are now. But they cannot find little Chumby, who is missing.
Not little Chumby.
Yeah, little Chumby Numblefoot is missing and might be lost out there in the woods, or maybe he was captured right by raiders that they weren't able to get. She's not too sure, but she's definitely overcome by this image that there was a portrait that had been drawn of the family, the little Numblefoot family, on the old box done by a small child with Ma and Pa, little gnomes, and then the little itty-bitty gnome in between them with a big smile on his face. She tells the story.
Tessicar wells up, and there's clear tears at the edge of his eyes.
I'm glad
and
that his tears are clear and not like
yellow,
red.
They're black.
Inky black tears well up.
These tears just starting to like form, and he looks over, and still slightly in Joey mode, he's like,
"Don't worry, we'll find little Chumby. We'll find him for you, okay?"
Tessicar, not now. Now, Dara. I know this is probably really hard for you, and I'm really sorry to hear that. Is there anything we can do for you?
We can find little Chumby!
Tessicar, shut up!
Jennifer Aniston goes on to tell you about the fact that these orc raiders have been incursioning closer and closer towards Blazing Dell. They don't know where they're stemming from, and the mayor no doubt wants to put a stop to this. The mayor is currently in an argument with Baron Althan, who also has said that he wants to take care of this.
Seriously, fuck that guy. All of them. They all suck.
Yeah, why don't we just go kill all the orcs? Done.
And she says, you might talk to the mayor about taking on a bounty and getting one or all of you deputized to do that. I would not spend much time in the town if I were you, she goes on to say, because these two, if Baron Althan's men see either of them and they have not finished out their sentence at the crossroads, there will be a lot of drama.
I'm going to go to the little ladies room and change into a costume.
There's only a big ladies room.
Okay. I'm going to like push open the door and be like, fucking discrimination.
All right.
Do you think perhaps because you're so high up, you could give us permission to speak with the two orcs that have been captured and see if we can get some information from them?
Jennifer Aniston goes on to say that if you get deputized to go after those orcs from the mayor, then she will mention to Lucille that you have the authority to go talk to the orcs if you would like to.
Well, family.
Let's go get deputized.
I don't understand how Mel and I are going to be able to do that, though.
You guys go wait outside the city limits. The rest of us will get deputized.
Remember, as I said, you are in the main circle, the main square there with the fountain in the middle, and the mayor's residence and location was in that square. Baron Althan actually lives up on the hill. So you just need to make it through the square to get to the mayor's offices.
Don't get caught.
Melusine comes back and she's in a full peacock costume. And she puts scarves around Foggy's head so he looks like he's some sort of gypsy.
Wait, I can help with this prestidigitation.
And then as I say that, this giant blue mark disappears on Foggy's face.
Blue on my face? I have red hair. What are you thinking?
All right, Papa Smurf.
Hate you all.
The scarves look wonderful.
What color are the scarves?
Please say white so then he'll look like a rocket pop.
The only scarves that I have are the multicolored rainbow ones that appear out of like the one.
So I look like Tom Baker. Let's walk around in town and won't attract anybody. No one will notice me. Good job, everybody. Let's finish our drinks, guys, and go. And then I'm going to look over at Oscar. Be like, you done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Make any money?
No. I thought it was nighttime out and we're in the middle of the day. You think I made any money?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
The two gentlemen leave. Nobody lost any money. Nobody gained any money. And they both are like, did that feel like a waste of time to you? And the guy's like, yeah. But then again, most of my life feels like a waste of time.
So depressing characters.
The other guy's like, let's just go get more drunk. And he's like, yeah, I need to forget this entire afternoon. So they do. You settle up the tab.
I do not.
Tessicar settles up the tab.
Yeah.
Hey, god damn it, you stupid relatives.
Thanks, Tessie.
Tessicar, you did order all of the
beer.
Yeah,
you're the one who ordered the round, so you have to pay
damn
for
it.
Them.
Oscar, you didn't win a single thing. Freaking useless.
It's not much. You weren't. You five.
He's a
silver.
Stingy old man, too. Just
but you're not. Old. You keep saying you're not old.
Shut up.
It's when it works for Tessicar.
Exactly it, okay?
Who is the first to leave the tavern?
I think I am.
Eldith is the first to leave the tavern. Can I get a perception check there, Eldith? Who is the second to leave the tavern? Tessicar, can I get a perception check as well? Who is the third to leave the tavern?
I'll head out third.
Oh, I don't think that we should, like, be together. Like,
I agree, but we're stuck together.
It's true. All right, I'm going to strut like a peacock.
You're number four?
Yep.
Number four. And then your last.
I'm last. I'm hesitant to
blue-nosed Fogrim.
Yep. Yeah. Blue-faced.
Oh,
rainbow.
Entirely blue-faced.
His whole face.
My
is
whole
blue.
Face is blue. My hair is bright red. And I'm wearing a multicolored scarf.
I'm really happy about that. What did you do on your perception check, Eldith?
20.
You leave the tavern. There is no one in the square itself, but walking down one of the side streets that leads up to the fountain in this main central point, There's the inn, the mayor's residence, as well as a place that's called Tolm's Superior Outfitting and Dry Goods. And then down the way is a small temple to Illmatter. It's just off this road. And walking from that area down towards you are four humans who are wearing the same doublet with the same sort of... What's a nice color, Marie Claire?
Teal.
And they're under that bar guy? Like they're his men?
You're not sure. You're just people wearing the same doublet.
Okay, guys, we have to be really careful. There's four humans out here, and I don't know who they belong to.
Strutting like a dwarven peacock.
Do we risk it?
So only Eldeth and Tessikar have left the building yet.
Tessikar has not seen anything.
No. Tessikar, once Eldeth points that out to you, you immediately, of course, notice them. You were just looking at the sun or something.
That was really bright.
I mean, you did roll a 2 on a perception check. He's like, Eldeth, I found the sun.
Yeah, my wisdom is a 10, so it makes sense.
Okay, so Tessikar looks behind him and then just shouts at all the information that Eldeth said back to the two behind him.
Like, shouts it at us. Like, we are right behind you.
Hey, guys! So there's four humans out here! We don't know who they serve!
And then, of course, 3, 4, and 5 do not enter out into the street. However, Tessikar shouting has alerted these four individuals to the presence of two dwarves standing in the street. And they immediately take interest in this and start walking towards the bar. Looked like they were going somewhere else, but now they've changed direction and are coming straight to the bar.
Good job, Tessie. Once again, you've done it. Okay, if we act cool, and maybe we can talk to them and find out who they work for, and then we'll
hey,
be safe.
Hey, dwarf.
How you doing?
Hi.
Fuck you.
Whoa.
One of them starts to pull out a short sword, and he's like, you're supposed to be in the cages.
What?
Why are we in cages?
Why aren't you in your cages? And the other guy's like, whoa, 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 Boris, whoa, wait. That one doesn't have that stupid
red
hair.
Did you just assume we all look the same?
And that one looks really
old. That's so rude! Oh my gosh! Discrimination! I need to talk to your manager!
And Boris is like, no, fuck you.
Who do you work for?
I work for Lefty and Righty. Who do you work for?
I work for the great old one, and he's gonna smite your ass!
So, in other words, you're self-employed. Okay.
Everybody just calm down.
These are awesome lines.
Does Fagram just say that in the background?
Yes. Yes, he does. These are awesome lines.
Okay. I mean, he's like writing them down for later.
Yes.
Like, these are good.
So one guy now notices Fagram, but he doesn't actually recognize Fagram.
Oh, thank God.
Because I'm blue faced and you're not the same dwarf. But he's an idiot anyway, as you can tell. You're pretty sure, though, that these are Baron Althan's men. And it looks like combat is imminent.
Tessikar's white hair starts to, like, puff out even more. He gets, like, this, like, cockatoo thing going on.
Oh, my God.
And as the guys, when he went, like, lefty and righty,
yeah.
Tessikar was, like, produce flame. So now he's got this fireball in one hand, and he's got his battle axe in the other, and he's like,
come at me, punk!
Okay, gentlemen, let's just take a step back. I think there's a lot of testosterone going around right now. Hi. So, I don't really...
Okay, hold on. As soon as you say, hi, the one guy with his fists out looks at you. I'm going to need some sort of roll to defuse the situation for Eldeth here. What are you trying to do? You're trying to stop combat, right?
Yes.
All right, so you need to persuasion check.
18.
And he does not immediately break into combat, even though he looks like he really wants to pop Tessikar right in the nose.
It's already flat!
Such an easy target.
Excuse me, sir. I know my brother's really annoying and kind of rude, and with everything that's been going on, I'm sure you've had a really long, stressful day. I think there's been a really big misunderstanding right now, so I'm really hoping that we can just go on our way.
Whatever, you're not the dwarves in the cages. He, like, puts his hands down. I don't like you, though.
It's okay. Nobody does.
Agreed.
I'm not that old!
And then the other guy says, yeah, they're not the dwarves, Boris. Like, these are just different stupid dwarves. Let's just let stupid dwarves be stupid dwarves.
Ouch.
And the other two guys laugh at his awesome joke. And they're like, and one guy says, Yeah, they're too short to get it. They begin to walk away.
So I'm going to just prestidigitation them. So I'm going to do prestidigitation, but I'm going to make it look like this really gnarly looking bug. And the bug is going to like crawl up the one guy's face. And like just sit there and wiggle, but the guy can't feel it, obviously. But when the other guy looks at him, he's gonna see this bug.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So the
do that
awesome bug flitters and flies
yes.
over and lands on the guy's face because yeah. that'd be easier than crawling up from his clothes yeah. as they're walking away. And the one guy who talked earlier goes, "Boris, stop! Stop, Boris! Stop! Stop, Boris! Stop!" And Boris is like, "What? Fuck you, I'm walking here." He's like, no, stop, Boris, stop. There's a Carapacian insectamande that is sitting on your cheek. It's an iridescent one. I have never seen one this far north. Stop. And he starts to like try to put his hands on Boris's face. And Boris keeps slapping his hands away like, stop fucking touching me. And he's like, no, this is, I have the stuff at home. Oh, this is the most amazing thing in my life. I can't believe there's one this far north. Oh my God. And he keeps trying to pluck it from Boris, but Boris keeps moving away. What do you do?
The bug then moves from his cheek to his forehead, starts to go, so like it would be sitting like on the top of his forehead. So then he'll be bugging and it just keeps going around his face until...
How are you not feeling this? And eventually Boris gets pissed off and punches the other guy in the gut. And while he's rolling and laying on the ground, he's no longer invested and interested in the iridescent, whatever I called it, insect. And yeah, you have definitely, he's the guy who was trying to be a nice guy is laying on the ground, clutching his stomach, trying not to vomit.
At that moment, I need to do something to Boris.
Tessicar, haven't you had enough fun? I think we should go to the mayor's office now.
Just wait, this is gonna get good!
The sunlight dapples on the cobblestones of the fountain as you make a mad dash, and we watch five dwarves hustling as fast as their little legs will carry them around the fountain and towards the domicile and the residence of the mayor. Does anyone go through the fountain thinking it's a faster way to go?
No.
What are you looking at me for?
No, he's looking at me. Foggy does not run through the fountain.
I don't know.
He will run around the fountain.
It's definitely a lot further to go around the fountain than to just go right through it.
I'm fast. I can run around it. I feel confident about that.
No, as fast as your little dwarf's legs will take you.
Yes.
Just still.
I am dwarf fast.
Dwarf fast. Who arrives at the door of the mayor's residence first?
I do, because I ran the fastest.
Okay.
Bullshit.
He's the fastest.
You arrive, the door is unlocked. Do you open the door or do you knock on the door? What do you do?
I knock Fogger? On the door.
You knock on the door.
There Quite loudly, no, though.
There's no answer.
And then knock again.
Yeah, still no answer. But time is ticking and other dwarves are piling into the back of you. And those four guards of Baron Althans are starting to move from the street and might look back at any moment.
I'm going to open the door and go inside.
All right, you open the door. When you open the door, Allison, what is the first thing you see?
A mirror. It is not very large, but it is high up and it is round with kind of like a silver frame around it.
And it's in a little entryway and there's some shoes that are put off to the side and it opens up into a reception area where a woman is writing a message on a piece of vellum. Who is the second person through the door?
I will be second.
Describe the woman for me.
She's tall. She has blonde hair. Middle-aged. 57-ish. Wearing simple clothes. To me, that's middle-aged, apparently.
What color are Alicia's eyes?
Blue.
Who is the third person through the door?
I feel like Tessicar and Eldith are like the same pace.
Are you going to Three Stooges it and like end up in the doorway at the same time?
Yeah.
So, Melusine, are you in last?
Oh, I'm going to be last because I grand entrance.
She totally tripped. No, let's be real. She tried to like jump over the fountain.
Her toe got caught and went into the water.
All right, so you're the last person there. Make a stealth check, Melusine.
A 10.
The two of you ram into the door itself. neither willing to begrudge the other first entry, much like the whole birth canal problem that the two of you had so many years ago. But this time, Eldith wins out in her metal armor.
Ow, 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 ow!
Yeah, and wins...
You're pointy, you're pointy!
Wins her way into the building. Can you describe the desk that Alicia, the human, is sitting at?
It's small. It's not that big of a desk. And it kind of is made... And it's white. And you can definitely tell that it's an older desk. And possibly...
Is it 57-ish?
No. Probably like 62-ish.
Okay.
And you can definitely tell if there was any more belongings on the desk, it'd probably fall apart because it's so old.
You work your way in. That means Tessikar follows in behind you. And Tessikar, there is an older gentleman who has entered the room as well. Can you describe this older male human gentleman for me?
He's 56 and a half-ish. He's a rather portly man. And he's got this graying beard that's still got specks of black in it. And he's got this shaggy black hair that needs to be trimmed. But it's like kind of half tied back because it's fairly long. And he's wearing this long waistcoat that is green.
Melusine, as you are the last person to enter the building, can you just describe the general room itself and add some more color to that?
Oh, sure. So it's got wood paneling with intricate filigree around the roof and next to the floor, and the floor itself is marble. There's a beautiful fireplace that has the embers remaining in it from the day, and several comfortable leather armchairs and, you know, rugs and tapestries that coat the wooden walls.
And Melusine and Fogrim, you both recognize the gentleman standing there as the mayor, Sir Miles Beric.
I just had one quick question. So he came in from where? Because you said into the room, but not through the front door like us.
Well, it's not a one-room building. There's a whole bunch of rooms.
Okay, I was just checking.
This is like a reception area, antechamber. The residence itself is beyond. I would imagine that he has an office that's adjacent to this room, and there's another closed door that might lead into the residence itself. He smiles benignly at both Fogrim and Melusine, recognizing the two of you immediately, and he then looks at the other gathered assortment of dwarves, and he says, "Gathered the band, have you?"
I pull my peacock hood down to show my face, you know, because he's got to be able to see my face, and say, "The band is back together. It is. Yes.
We're on a mission from Gad."
I don't know who this Gad is, but if it involves further delightful stories and songs at Baron Alphen's expense, I will gladly appreciate them. What leads the five of you to the mayor's residence?
Well, we were talking to Dara Whitewood, and she told us a terrible tale of what the orcs had done to
the Nimblefoot.
And we wanted to come to see you to see if we can do something about that.
Be deputized and chase those bastards.
Because we are passionate about justice.
And hot chicks.
And just us can handle it.
Just us.
I get it.
Sir Miles Beric then says, after taking all of this in, "Well, that is indeed a good thing, I guess, to want to pursue."
"Are you willing to deputize us in a peacock costume?" She stands in front of you.
"You're literally in a peacock costume?"
"Yeah, I had to choose one costume."
"She dressed like a peacock?"
"Yeah, did you not hear that? She said like three times."
"Oh, I gathered a peacock hood. I thought that was really
cool." "No, the whole thing. She went into the bathroom to change." The big woman's room.
It's like the NBC logo was just running around everywhere.
Every step is one of those three notes.
I'm doing them myself.
That's all you hear.
That's not really stealthy.
No, that's why I did only get a 10.
Sir Miles Barrack says, "That is a great deal to take in. Yes, it is very unfortunate what happened to the Numblefoot clan. Yes, it is indeed true what Constable Whitewood told you, and I would, of course, be willing to deputize you dwarves to look into this orc raider dilemma. But I am saddened by the... Well, I'd initially thought you were going to come in and rejoin me with a new song and tale of Baron Alphen's malfeasance and duplicity and... Oh, what was the word you said, Melusine?
Felicity?
Well, it was much more salacious than that.
Oh.
But the way you said it, I think, had something to do with adultery.
It, when the moment strikes me.
You're very distracting right now.
I do a little, like, peacock butt wiggle. Little twerking of the peacock.
Yeah.
Prestidigitation. As
the rainbow appears.
Yeah.
The lady finishes writing a letter. Gets up from the table looking very uncomfortable and says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Would you forgive me if I stepped out?" And he says, "Oh, of course not, Alicia. By all means." And she makes her leave. "But maybe I might take a look at some insight checks in case anybody wanted to know the reason why she might actually be leaving. And if you got an 18 or higher..."
Oh gosh, we're in trouble, guys.
"Did anybody get an 18?
We have no idea guidance. What's happening.
Then no one really knows that
guidance
cannot happen after.
You gotta call that before.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So no one has managed to succeed at their insight check. So no one realizes that Alicia has gotten up from the table, taken her leave, gone out the door, and then run like hell towards Baron Alphen's residence. But since none of you know that, you're going to be surprised, no doubt. Sir Miles says, "It's very easy to get you deputized. I would just need you to sign this document over here, which I have several copies of, as the recent number of constables and deputies is raised considerably as a result of these orc raiders. Alicia has copied out several of them for me. There's also some nuptial agreements here. Don't mind this one. She accidentally wrote her own name on it next to this page and errand person. It does not look like a complicated document that you've been deputized, and then the reason for the deputization is orc raiders." Literally, that is what is written on the deputization. Yeah, reason, orc raiders. The deputization lasts for a week. And he says, "It would normally come with a star or some sort of badge to wear, but unfortunately, we are now out of those. So you'll have to take my word and the word of the townsfolk that you've been deputized in this manner. But since you won't be operating and acting within the town's confines itself, I don't think this will be a problem. Is there anything else you would need?"
"I do think maybe perhaps you could assist my two cousins here, as they may have found themselves in a little bit of trouble. And possibly you could pardon them so that we do not face any further troubles along our travels?"
"Nope. Definitely can't do that."
"Oh,
thanks for trying."
What I'm going to do is take Foggy into the back and actually like make Foggy's nose normal and disguise Foggy up a little
just
bit.
Just by changing my nose.
No.
Sounds good.
You know, you change the nose and it changes the whole face.
Right.
It's like eyebrows.
Add you some nice eyebrows. Actually, I'm going to pluck your eyebrows a little bit.
That's not happening.
Just, you know, poof them up a little bit so they look like the Mentat eyebrows in Dune.
While this is very interesting to witness, I just would like to point out that one of the things that is offered to all of the deputies is that any of the orcs you kill, a bounty will be paid of 25 gold per orc.
Done!
Do we have to bring back anything to prove we have killed them?
Or is it based on trust?
I could take one of their eyeballs out and put it in a jar.
How do you know if it's an orc eyeball and not another eyeball?
Yes, this conversation is extremely disconcerting, and my lunch is not sitting well now. So, I don't think proof will be required. However, I don't imagine there will be too many orcs you'll need to dispatch. But nonetheless, I would imagine trust will be implicit in this. Yeah, don't you agree?
Yes, I'll keep a log.
His eyes widen. Are you interested in more formal employment?
No.
A pity.
Wait, nope.
Formal. Informal answer. I got it.
No, I did it because that was his answer to me with my question.
Oh, okay. Nope. Never mind.
That was the answer to the bounty question earlier.
Melusine's going to change out of the peacock costume and into her normal.
Right there?
No, I'm in the room. I'm in the bathroom or whatever. I said
what
I was,
bathroom?
I said I was going off to the side to change Foggy.
You guys literally just moved off to the side.
Okay, I'll just change there. But I've got clothes underneath the peacock.
Okay, start taking off peacock costume. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see your peacock, your peacock.
You know, there's only so much time for a peacock.
Do each of you sign the constabulary documents?
Yes.
Yes.
Tessicar has pulled out some little bifocals, and he's got them resting at the end of his squished nose, and they keep sliding off because his nose is squished, so that he like gets annoyed with them, and he pulls out the stupid rubber band that goes on them, and he rubber bands the glasses to his face.
Does he even need the glasses?
No. There is important contract glasses.
I love it. Important contract
glasses. You may have a blue moat.
He unrolls a little kit. This is like little leather kit. And it goes slop, 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 slop. And there's the glasses. So he puts those on and they slide off and he rubber bands it, pulls out the pen. And of course, there's like some inks and stuff there that he's going to use and a gold seal thing, stamp.
And is Tessicar somewhat saddened that there is no soul prescription or subscription element to this contract? That it's just very standard. There's only one subclause.
Yeah. There's only one thing to like, but
there's
still
no,
he's
no
going
requirement
through it
for initialing.
He's going through it and he's like, I think free beer should happen on the weekends. And just pencils it in on the side. So he like writes that in. He like goes through and he makes like small little amendments here or there. And then he like initials each one, signs at the bottom, hands it back to the man.
I need you to initial all those spots too for it to be legally binding.
You've written this in Dwarvish.
Oh, sorry. One second.
You wrote all over the back of the document. Why are you? What? Why are there 7 subclauses? I'm afraid you'll have to sign a new one.
So he takes the contract, mutters to himself a bit annoyed.
He's like, fine, I'll cut out 3 of them.
And he starts like writing again, making sure this time he's writing in common.
Oh, okay.
The beer one was non-negotiable. It's staying in there. Just saying. It's there. And then there's like subclauses. Certain females may be mentioned inside subclauses about proposal and marriage and blah, blah, blah. But it's in really small print. And it's distracted a little bit. Like, so it's like, oh, look at this over here.
Like, put glitter on it?
Yeah.
Did you bedazzle the contract?
He's got gold leaf. And he's like sitting there and doing a little bit of calligraphy. Hands it back.
What is everyone else doing?
I'm watching this in amazement.
Melusine's going to sign her contract right away and then do 2 little musical notes by her name.
Perfect. And you're busy taking your peacock costume off. Yeah. And Eldeth?
Is banging her head against an object at her brother's dumbness.
And?
I'm Fogram? Carefully forming the letters for my name because signing is hard for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't do handwriting so well. I'm trying to make it look like an adult would write it.
Oh, okay. I mean, you are a Stonehammer. You're more than capable of writing and whatnot, especially in Dwarven.
Oh, I can write. So. It's just not good penmanship.
All right. Cool.
So I'm really focused. Do you say each letter out loud? But I'm carefully forming each letter, making sure that they look
right. And do they slowly drift down off the line?
Yes, big time. Actually, it goes up and to the right. Actually, so halfway through, I notice it, so I start to go down. So it's like an A shape.
Like a mountain.
Great.
That is what I'm doing.
And of course, you all wait for Tessicar to finish the calligraphic second contract, which the mayor just automatically accepts back in the pile.
Got me a lady!
There is a knocking at the door. Perception checks, and if you have skill with any sort of sword, you may roll with advantage. Did anybody beat a 15?
Yes.
No.
Sure did.
I got an 8.
You don't really have skill with short swords or swords, right? So for the 3 of you, you know for a fact that that is the sound of someone with the hilt of their sword banging on the door to the mayor's residence.
That's going
to
scratch the mahogany.
So much mahogany.
Mr. Mayor, do you have a back door by chance? Not in that sense.
Now he's really confused by what you meant by that.
I think we need to leave really quickly.
Indeed. If that is the way of it, there I could well, why? And then you hear a thin, reedy, very patriarchal voice ring out from behind the door to Sir Mile Barrack's residence, say, "Let them out! Let them out now, Sir Miles! I have heard very clearly that all of these foul dwarves with their foul-mouthed songs and stories and pranks are within, and if they are not brought out immediately, I will knock this door down, sir."
I want to cast sleep on him. Is there a window?
Yes, there is a window. Why not?
I'm going to look out.
He is standing out there with 20 armed guards.
20?
How about I have somebody describe Baron Althyn for me?
He's got a long, pointy chin, and it's got this little tuft of orange hair at the very bottom. And then he's got this like wiry orange mustache that goes straight out. It doesn't curl or anything. It just goes straight out. And he's got these little beady eyes, and they are like the muddiest brown color that you could think of. And he's got these really thin wiry eyebrows as well. And then his hair just kind of goes up and then points in the middle. So it's like this like acorn shape, but it's like a really bad comb over. Like he's trying to cover the bald spot at the top, so he just decided to go straight up with his hair and make it into a point.
And so picture all of that on Justin Bieber, and that's Baron Althyn.
It's like a medieval punk. Like punk ass bitch, not like punk.
Oh,
jeez.
Savage.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
It's going for the jugular with that one.
So if Justin Bieber's listening to this podcast, I apologize for my wife's horrible description of yourself. Like, I like your music.
What is happening?
He's fangirling over there.
Don't Justin worry. Bieber. He's a Belieber.
Do you got Belieber fever?
All right. That went, Bieber a, bit, fever? That went a bit awry.
I agree. Right.
Weird facial hair and comb forward Justin Bieber is calling out in his thin, reedy voice. And Melusine looks through the window and he starts to say, "I can see you looking, dwarf!"
And I strum of my lute. And I'm going to start singing.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, what are you going to sing?
"Hush, little baron, don't say a word. Melusine's going to find you a shiny stone. And if that shiny stone does crack, Melusine's going to find you a holding sack." And it's going to go on and on and on until enough of them are asleep.
Roll your 5d8 or whatever you do for hit points of slumber.
How many can she put to sleep?
The average guard is going to have 12 or 13 at most hit points, and she's going to roll 5d8 in hit points, targeted centrally on Baron Althyn, who probably has the fewest hit points.
I got 28.
Baron Althyn, his eyes roll back in his head, and he falls face forward into the lintel of Sir Miles Barrack's door.
He's a stone hammer now, flat-nosed.
Yep. Didn't see it happen. I giggle.
I retract the comment.
All of the rest of you have stood there and watched Melusine pull the window open, strum her lyrical song of slumber. You probably took a glance out the window too, crowding around five little dwarven faces looking out the window at the guards. The other two guards fall into each other and then fall down to the ground, their arms kind of awkwardly entwined, and it looks like they're like hugging while sitting on the cobblestones of the fountain. And the other guards, the 18 other guards, all draw weapons, quickly looking around like, what's going on? Crossbows and short swords.
Guys, I really think that we should go out that back door now.
Let's go.
Mr. Mayor, please show us the way.
Yes. Now. Of course, I'm...
The Baron's been...
Why did you cast a spell on him?
The Baron's been super cranky. I just thought he needed a nap.
His face is bleeding.
Oops.
He looks so confused and lost. He says, right. Yes, oh, I've got it. And he walks to the front door.
Mr. Mayor, just one second, please. If you don't let us go through the back door, we can't go help find little Chumby Numblefoot and get him back to his family.
Right, yes. Little Chumby Numblefoot. He stands there, paused at the front door itself, and says, and he has a sad look on his face, and he says, my dear, I think that there's only one way for me to resolve this, though. And he throws the door open and says, Stonehammers, as mayor of Blazing Dell, and he's not talking to you guys, he is talking to the 18 guards outside, I hereby place all of you under arrest for,
being too awesome.
Not that, misuse of magic in the town square and causing harm to a baron. Amongst other things I will no doubt come up with in time. Follow me to the prison immediately. Now, there's unfortunately only one room left. You'll all have to be put in the same room together. Oh, the horror and unfortunateness of this. Isn't that right, Baron Althan's armed men? Meanwhile, the constable and her deputies have stepped out of the inn, and they all look unhappy and armed as well. There's not as many of them as the militia. There are also a great number of townsfolk who've stepped out too. Baron Althan slumbers fitfully on the steps in front of the door, and his two guards sit by the fountain asleep as the mayor of Blazing Dell attempts to cajole the five of you to leave through the front door and come with him to the prison. His eyes are really wide and like he nods like,
well, I think we should go with him. We weren't very good.
Yes, let's all go.
Let's all go to the prison.
Yes, that's
let's
right.
Let's all go to the
let's
prison.
All of you need to have sad and that is right. You've done a bad thing. Know what you did. Sad, unhappy face. No smiles from dwarves today, right? As he ushers you all out.
Can I roll a perception check to make sure Tessicar is actually picking up the plan here?
No,
I mean, no, is he actually picking up?
Okay, this good. Seems like pretty.
Let's all go to the prison. Let's all go to the prison. Let's all go to the prison and have ourselves a rat sacks of rats.
I was wondering where you were going to go on that. The only reason I let that continue so long is I really wanted to know what you were going to say at the very end. So with that, Tessicar, you do quickly understand that this is all okay. For the well and good. And the mayor escorts you, not without some jostling and bumping from the militiamen outside Baron Althan's men. Some of them have rushed forward after standing there. You all step over Baron Althan before his militia men can run over and pick him up and move him aside, and he's still sound asleep as you're all taken to the prison and placed in the adjoining cell.
Melusine, as she steps over Baron Althan, says, oh, poor kiddo, he's just tuckered himself out, continues on her way.
You are all taken immediately to the prison and placed in the adjoining cell of the prison itself. Lucille gives you the darkest of looks. Fogrim, she says, I did not expect to see you back here.
Hey, Lucille!
Oh, hi.
Hi.
She looks down and a flush creeps up her face.
Prestidigitation!
Puts a flower in his hand, hands it to her.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind of you to have thought of me.
It's not gonna last. It's not real.
Foggers. What do you? It's just a flower. Of course it won't last.
I'm just saying.
I'm so sick and tired of your awkwardness. One thing I will point out, though, that all five of you do notice as you walk through the courtyard in between all of the armed men is standing on the path leading up to Baron Althan's estates is Alicia, the 57-ish assistant of Sir Miles Barrack, looking upon all of you with a disapproving look in her face.
I shoot a disapproving look back. I'm just going to saddle up to the mayor who's walking us to the prison and say, I think that Alicia ratted you out to the Baron.
What?
She's on the path to look.
He looks. Oh, Alicia.
I know. What a bitch, hey?
Well, there will be no bonus for her this year. Just so you know, the bonus was usually my penis.
I was just thinking that, Kyle.
So then that's a good thing. Anyways. And I trail off.
You're all in the prison. There are two orcs in the room next to you. There's just bars separating you from them. They do not look very healthy. They look extremely beat up. Have cuts and gashes and wounds, which is probably the only reason they were able to be brought down and then dragged into the prison itself within Blazing Dell. And Lucille and the mayor then close your prison door, but they don't lock it. And they go back to their work. The mayor turns and has a quiet word to Lucille. Is anyone trying to overhear what they say?
Yep.
Yes.
Lucille's my honey.
Excuse me.
Damn it, why am I so bad at this?
There's no requirement to roll. I just wanted to. I love
it. Okay, well, I got a natural
20. This is Dungeons
20.
And Dragons. I want to roll
everything.
As you lean in to overhear their conversation, the mayor says, don't put them in the log. I'll deal with Baron Alphen in the morrow. After all, he's created a militia of his own within the city limits. These five Stonehammers have all been deputized, Lucille. And I know, Lucille, you don't have to give me that look. They're not going to stay long. They're leaving to go and deal with the orcs. Well, fine, says Lucille. Maybe one of them will just die fighting orcs then.
Foggy just sits there with his mouth wide open and try not to cry.
Tessicar also sits there with his mouth open thinking she might be talking about him. And he's like, but Lucille, I thought we had something special.
They look at Tessicar and move out of earshot.
Yeah, good job.
You're left alone next to these two orcs, one of whom is currently unconscious on a cot. There is only one cot in either of the two rooms, and a makeshift toilet, which is just a wooden bucket. The orcs seem like they've been served some sort of afternoon meal, and there is a tray and two bowls. One of the bowls is half empty, the other is entirely empty.
I'm going to go and play with the door and squeak it open.
Opens on silent hinges.
All right.
Can I try talking to the orc that's not unconscious?
Absolutely.
Hi, Mr. Orc. What are you in here for?
The orc looks at you uncomprehendingly and growls.
Does anyone speak orc?
I do. I'm speaking orc to him.
Oh,
Let's try that again.
Let's try that again then. So you're going to try now in orcish, because you definitely, that was not orcish before.
So I'm going to talk to the orc in orcish. Hi, Mr.
Yeah,
orc.
Yeah, sorry, that's still not orcish.
Oh, you actually want me to... Oh, shit.
How long have you been playing in my games?
I don't even know what orcish sounds like.
No, too many. Neither do I.
Well, I'll make it up.
Agor orc, Akash uga.
The orc replies,
why would you put an R roll in there? I can't do that.
It was a growl. Just a glottal growl. The orc has replied to you. It really doesn't translate too well into dwarvish or common, but it has to do with one's ability to fuck your ancestors as a way of informal greeting and polite rejoinder of, how did you happen to get thrown into jail?
Lugnok, ugak. So that was, we knocked out the Baron and made him bleed.
And you have to insert some sort of horrible act being performed upon his mother as a measure of that statement, just so you know. I mean, you don't have to actually say that right now, but that's part of orcish, is some sort of horrible slur and insult that is part of the just common parlance. Like, it's just like a preposition.
Okay.
Yeah, there are no pronouns, only racial epithets in Orcish, so you're aware. The orc replies to you, and we will drop the slurs and epithets and horrible aphorisms going forward, but the orc replies to say, well, good for you. How many people died, sort of thing?
About five.
About five is always a good number. Mm-hmm. That's the number I always tell my chief whenever I've killed many, because counting beyond five is unnecessary. It is one hand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
Dwarf, how did you come to speak Orcish, the greatest of all tongues?
I've had a lot of orc friends, and they worked with me.
Yes. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. I like to make new friends.
You seem like the kind who would make a good friend.
Well, thank you. Now, do you have
He also comments on how much he would like to have...
Welcome to my world.
Agreeable sex with you.
Well, that is very nice of you, but unfortunately, my god does not let me perform in such acts.
Huh.
But we could be friends.
You spend a couple of minutes talking about the specifics of the sexual acts your god does allow you to partake in, and then when it's clear that there ain't no touching this person, and that person won't touch the other person, that he moves on. We don't need to actually go through that conversation, because that would be both awkward and require more than graphic content. Which this podcast already has. So, he says, what do you want?
Well, I'm just curious. Have you heard the myth about the gauntlet?
Are we still talking about sex?
No.
Oh, okay. Then no, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, and I'll let you know that I would hope that Eldeth is also translating some of what he's saying to the group. Maybe not the sex stuff. Maybe only the sex stuff. I'm not too sure. But it would allow the group to also ask questions and be part of this conversation.
Do you know of any mountain that has five levels?
Well, there are many mountains that have five levels, but more than five levels is really unnecessary, because five is the fingers on a hand, and that is all that you would need to tell.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. Does anyone else have any questions for this orc? Or am I going to do it by myself here?
You're all on your own. We were supposed to go and deal with the orcs, so... Where did he come from?
That's a good one. I'm just trying not to give him away that we're going to go kill all of his people.
No, we just go and say, hey, so where are you from?
Okay. So what's your name?
Aaron, what's a great orc name?
Gardok.
Oh. And orcs always have titles. So it's Gardok. What, Allison?
The first thing that came to my mind was the flatulent. So I apologize for the future.
Cuts one noisily and says, I am Gardok the flatulent. And I need everyone to make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, no.
You all need a 10.
10.
Yes.
Nat 20.
Excellent. You didn't even ask for guidance.
I know.
You didn't be like...
I needed guidance.
You rolled nat 20 on a farting constitution save. No. But when it's important, you're like, I'm 4.
Such is my life, man.
Fogrim's eyes roll into the back of his head, and he slumps to his knees, passed right out.
Is this considered poison?
I was going to say.
Oh, am I totally passed out now?
Yeah, it's like a sleep spell.
Oh!
Yeah, knocked Fogrim right out.
So he has earned that name.
Yes. And he says to you in Orcish, I really earned that name.
Yeah, apparently.
The rest of you are all still repulsed by the overwhelming stench of this fart.
I feel like Tessakar's nose hairs have like just been singed over time from
absolutely.
Like smells and stuff. So he can't actually smell anything, which is probably why he rolled the nat 20.
That's very clear, yeah.
Eldeth tries to ignore everything that just happens, and she tries to play on the fact that he is like trying to sex her. And she's kind of like, so, Gardok, where did you come from?
He begins to tell you the long tale of the savagery of his clan, who has descended from the very mighty of kings of Orcdom, but has fallen on hard times as it has moved as a roving band until it was but him alone, and he has found his way into the employ of another group of orcs that are operating really nearby. He's like, I've got a sweet, sweet cave that I only share with three other orcs. So if you want to come by for an orgy sometime, you know, look us up. We're at the Stone Tooth.
And if I wanted to take you up on that, which direction would I go?
Well, you probably go east-west a little bit, depending on how much thrusting's going on.
East-west-ish?
Yeah, I meant if I want to come find you, what direction should I walk?
It's to the west, where the mountains are.
Is there anything specific about your cave?
It's a really nice picture of some daffodils that he found that kind of makes him feel peaceful. Put that up on the wall.
Oh, that'll definitely help me find you when you break out of here.
He's breaking out any time now. It's gonna happen. He's gonna get back to the great Ulfie, who will definitely reward him for the slaughter and the raiding that he's managed to do here. Burn this entire town to the ground all too soon.
Half dwarven, half orc children are scary thing to think about.
Well, it was really nice to meet you, but we should probably get going now. Maybe we'll cross paths again.
No, you should let Gardok out as well, and we will burn the town down together.
Oh.
He attempts to persuade you.
Yeah, I don't think I have time for that. I'm so sorry.
No, it will be great. We will burn the town down together, and we will make love in the ashes.
Guys, I think we should go now.
Why? What did you say?
Sorry,
oh, I'm asleep. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. you woke up just for that. What did you say? And back down.
I say it in Dwarven. Guys, I really think we should get going now. Mm-hmm.
How close are you to the bars between the cages?
Probably like a couple inches.
that's a good choice. He reaches out to grab you, but he can't gain purchase on your shoulder as he tries to grab you to stop you from leaving. You manage to pull away so that his thick and nasty fingers with their chewed on fingernails do not gain purchase on your... What type of armor do you wear again?
Chain.
And your chainmail armor, and as he growls and says, no, don't leave me.
Don't worry. I have to let you go in order for us to find each other again. Bye-bye.
He's too dumb to understand half of what you meant by that, but he does speak to you in orcish words of orcish love, which are like, I had sex with your mother. I love you so much. And it goes on from there as you proceed to pack your things up and go out the door.
I'm going to carry or drag Fogrum as, how are you dragging me? Like, you're going to put one arm over my shoulder and like half to you.
Unconscious Fogrum finds that acceptable.
Excellent. Fogrum wakes up as Melusine is putting you across her shoulders.
What did I miss?
Do you kind of notice that Melusine's going to carry you out of there and remain unconscious in quotation marks, or do you come to?
I'm coming to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll come to.
That's too bad, because a free carry is always a good thing.
He's got to walk at his own 2 feet and just ask, what did I miss?
We're leaving.
Okay, don't have to tell me twice.
Would Tessicar have picked up on the sexy vibes between the orc and his sister?
Insight check.
Guidance!
What do you say to get guidance on this insight check?
Okay, one! Help me discern the powers of the love.
Yeah, roll your d4 as well.
Hiya! 4, bitches!
Well, on the no. d4. Yeah. So the black goat reaches out with his tendrils from afar, touches you most inappropriately. And deeply. And you glean insight that indeed this orc seems to have immediate feelings of desiring deep penetration of this little dwarf in chainmail, that he wants to just have her in exactly what she's wearing right now for as long as she can withstand his desires. You leave the prison.
Oh, no. Someone gotta die.
I'm still protective of my little sister.
Sorry. Yeah, well, I'll go back. The others all follow Eldeth, who leaves the prison, as Lucille stands at the door, counting dwarves, and does not, like, deliberately doesn't count Fogrim. Like, Fogrim's number two to come out the door, or number three. And she goes, one.
Let's be three.
You're number three. So Lucille goes, one, two, four, then looks. And, like, refuses to make eye contact with Fogrim. Just, like, Fogrim throws his hands up in the air.
It's like, fucking fine. I think that in my head, I don't say that out loud, but just so frustrated.
Which is the universal word, you know, sign language of fine. Yeah. And does he kick a little pebble at the street?
Yes. Yes, he does. Very childishly.
Yeah. And the pebble whips across the street and hits the fountain. And cuts a little chip in the dress of the flowing robes of the person in the fountain. Fogrim is extremely strong.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And Lucille looks back to figure out where dwarf number five is. And what's dwarf number five doing?
He's casting dissonant whispers on that orc.
And as you bring to bear and bring to might the dire, dark energies of the elder gods' gifts to you, the storyteller clears her throat. And we pause there, and that will have to happen at the next game.
Raise a glass and drink to the enemy. Raise a glass and sing with the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal Adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.
Wear her down. Joey did.
Joey never wore her down.
Yeah, they were together like a whole series.
Wear her down, though.
Oh, a whole year.
They lived together. That's how he wore her down.
It wasn't him wearing her down. Ross wore her down. But he didn't. He just embraced who she was and accepted
guys,
who she was as a
I've
person.
Only got to, I love like, that we're having season five so or something. I haven't finished Friends yet.
You haven't finished Friends yet?
Hey, that's your own fault, though.
Yeah, but how old were you when Friends came out?
We watched British television growing up.
But how old were you when Friends came out?
I don't know. I didn't
it's been
watch...
off the air for 10 years. It's your own fault that you don't know how it ends.
I think it's been off the air longer than 10 like years, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it totally is longer than 10 years.
We're with you.
But nonetheless, back to the game.